Oh, Jesus, we need you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. We serve a good God. He's faithful to us. He helps us. Amen. I appreciate him very, very much tonight. And I had already planned to tell how much I appreciate this church, and very glad to be a part of it, be a part of what God's doing in Tulsa. This year would be 40 years for me, and we came, my family came to this church when I was 4 years old, and this is really all that I know, all that I remember. And I'm very, very thankful. I thank God often that he brought us to this place and that we are here, and just excited about what God's doing. I want to be in the big middle of it, don't you? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, while you're turning there. Love and appreciate Pastor and Sister Howard and praying for them. And I know that you are as well. And we miss them, but I know God's taken care of them. They'll be back shortly. Amen, amen. I do believe I am reaching for a few specific people tonight. I've had you on my mind today as I begin to pray and seek the mind of the Lord. And I've prayed for several of you today, and I really, really trust and hope that you will receive the word of the Lord and respond to it adequately. I also know that while me saying that it might seem like I'm only preaching to a few, but I'm not, because I believe that the rest of us also want everything that God wants in our life, everything that God wants to do, everything that God wants us to be. Amen. We want it tonight, don't we? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1. The word of the Lord, or the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. When I went down to the potter's house, behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I want to preach for the next little bit, not very long, I don't think. God is not finished with you. Amen. Would you talk to the Lord one more time? Oh, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray your word would go forth unfettered, unhindered today, God. God, I'm asking you to use me for your glory tonight, that your work would be done, that your will would be accomplished, Lord, that we would all respond to your word, God, with readiness of heart, willingness of mind, oh God, with an humble and a contrite heart, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, we worship you, we magnify you. Oh, give the Lord some praise together. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. Amen. You may be seated. In January of last year, I had the privilege of traveling to Brazil to be with Brother John Lambeth during his 15th pastoral anniversary services. And I'll just say it like this, it was an unforgettable experience all the way around. He's a pretty unforgettable person. And so it goes without saying. But I'll never forget that we were traveling somewhere and we stopped by the potter's house. And we began to watch them mold lumps of clay into something beautiful to look at. They would take these lumps of clay. Many of you maybe have seen this, and if you haven't, you need to watch at least once a potter take the lumps of clay that are unusable, and in their present state, they are good for nothing. And they would begin to work with this clay upon the wheel. And at first, it just looked ordinary. It didn't really seem all that special. In fact, I was amazed at how long they worked with it before they really did anything with it, it seemed like. But they were applying the right amount of pressure. And they were working out all the kinks, as it were. And so I began to watch them work this clay over. And then it's like all of a sudden, they would just apply pressure in the right place, in the right area. And instantly that clay would change shape and form. And a moment ago, just a glob of clay. Now you begin to see what it might look like in the end. I don't know really if I can adequately describe that moment to you if you have never seen it, but it's amazing at how quickly, after that potter had been working with it a while, and you're kind of wondering, okay, what is he doing? That all of a sudden that thing takes shape and form, and it captured my attention. And so they take something drab and useless and create a beautiful piece of pottery that when they're finished with it, they put it in this particular place. They would put it up in the front of the building, into the showroom, and they would entice you to buy it. And I bought a few things because the beauty of the finished work. A few places in Scripture refer to God as the potter and to us as clay in his hand. Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. In each of these passages, it is clear that the potter, that as the potter, that God has the power over the clay. What kind of vessel he makes out of us is his business. Amen. I'm going to say that again. What type of vessel that he makes out of us is his business. Amen. Who are we to resist the hand of the potter? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? The answer to that rhetorical question is, of course not. Amen. Who are we to look at God, the omnipotent one, the one who has all power, who has all knowledge, who knows all things, and look at him and begin to question what kind of vessel that he has planned for me? My, my, my. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are truly above our thoughts. And so we must be careful that we do not dictate to God what He makes out of us. Amen. There is a great need today for people to humble themselves and submit to God. We live in a lawless society. A society that does not want to conform to any rules, and a society that does not want anybody to tell them what to do, and does not want to heed any kind of instruction, and people that are offended when you give them advice. Amen. But He alone knows the end from the beginning. Our job is to place ourselves in His hand and to trust Him to do what is best for us. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, it might not be what you and I have all figured out for our lives, and it might not be exactly what we had in mind, but He has a vessel in mind. God looks at each of us, and He knows what we are to be. He knows the plans that He has for each and every one of us. Amen. And when He is done, if we allow God to do exactly what He wants to do in our lives, when He is done, it's no longer a marred piece of clay that is useless, that has no purpose, but it's a beautiful masterpiece. When He's done, it is fit for the Master's use. Amen. Jeremiah was a prophet to the nation of Judah. Already at this point, the 10 tribes of Israel had been conquered by Assyria and had been dispersed throughout the Assyrian Empire, and never again would these 10 tribes come back and live as tribes in the promised land. Never again would they regain their identity. They were forevermore dispersed and integrated into other societies. And so at the time of Jeremiah, this had already happened, and yet the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were still there, and a king still sat on the throne, and the temple was still in Jerusalem. But they were headed down the same path as their northern brothers. And this idolatry and sin that caused Israel to fall was also prevalent in Judah. Many prophets warned Judah that their fate would be the same if they did not repent and wholly follow the Lord. And in this way, God used Jeremiah to warn His people repeatedly and tirelessly, it seemed at times. Jeremiah would declare that unless they heeded the warning, that they were going to be brought low by the hand of their enemy. And so the book of Jeremiah is replete with warnings of judgment and what all Judah would suffer at the hand of their enemy. But interspersed throughout the doom and the gloom, which is often the case in some of the prophet books, but God would obviously communicate the impending judgment that would come if they did not repent, but there would be times when He would step back and He would communicate His desire to restore them and His desire to bring them back to a place of relationship with Him. He knew that judgment would have to come if they didn't straighten up. Judgment would have to come, but He also knew that in that judgment, it would be like the potter applying the right pressure. Oh, hallelujah. It would be as the potter working out the things in the clay that wasn't right. And so He would allow them to go down this path of captivity. But God never delights in judgment. The Bible tells us he delights in mercy. And so God was willing to allow Judah to fall into the hands of their enemy so that he can make them into what he had planned for them to be. And so when Jeremiah stood and he watched the potter wrought a work on the wheels, he noticed that the vessel the potter was working with was marked. That means it was ruined somehow. For some reason it had been damaged, or it is very possible here that this clay was not yielding to the hand of the potter. And this clay was not conforming to the mold that the potter had intended for it. And at times I have read that the potter will, with, I guess, frustration at the inability of the clay to yield to his hand, will take that clay and begin to mar it himself. It isn't as much what is already in the clay. It was just the clay was not conforming. It was not yielding to the hand of the potter. And so the potter would begin to mar it and to crush it back down. It might have somewhat looked like a vessel that was beginning to take shape, but because of that resistance from the clay, the potter would have to go back and take it down to the base again and begin to work on it all over again. Perhaps this is what Jeremiah saw when he said the clay was marred in the potter's hand. In a marred condition, it is not useful. It was messed up. It was ineffective. When Brother John and I left that place, he drove me around to the back of the building where lay a pile of discarded lumps of clay. Marred clay that, for one reason or the other, resisted the firm hand of the potter. Clay that would never be useful again. I've heard of that. I've heard of the potter's field, the place where they discard old clay. I've heard of all that. But there was something about seeing that pile of clay. We became sober in the car as we thought about the significance of people who would resist the hand of God, of people who would turn away from the potter's hand and say, don't mold me anymore. Don't apply that kind of pressure. I'm uncomfortable with that kind of pressure. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach to somebody today? God is looking for those that will place themselves on the potter's wheel and say, do with me as you will. Do with me as you want to. Yes, hallelujah. Jeremiah watched the potter. And the potter did not throw the marred clay away. He did not discard it and reach for another, hoping for a better outcome. But he took that vessel that was damaged, that was unusable, and the Bible said he made it again. Reworking it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, to Jeremiah, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand. Jeremiah, look at that clay that's in the potter's hand. So are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I've come to tell somebody that you and I are in God's hands. I said we're in God's hands. We want God to use us for His glory. We want God to be able to do with us what He has intended to do with us. I'm telling you, when you fully place yourself on the potter's wheel and you let God work with you, you let God mold you, you let God shape you, it's going to become something beautiful, more than you could have ever imagined it to be. When we truly get a revelation of this, it will revolutionize our relationship with God. It will revolutionize the way we view our God. He's not looking to throw us away as some discarded clay, as some marred clay that will not be used for anything. But He delights in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. God is interested in the outcome of every person. He's concerned about your destination today. God knows that left to your own devices, left to your own carnal will and carnal desires, that your life would amount to nothing. Oh, hallelujah. He understands all too well that the way of the ungodly shall perish, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Somebody hear me today. God knows that the ways of a transgressor is hard, and that the end of the wicked is destruction. But my Bible tells me He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to tell somebody today, He came not to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn you, but that the world through Him might be saved. I want somebody to know it's time to get back on the potter's wheel. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here helping us. I said it's time to, if you got to crawl back on your hands and your knees. Yeah, you want to know where the potter's wheel is. It's an altar. This altar symbolic. It might be in your home somewhere. It might be right here. It probably needs to be right here to get started. But crawl back to the altar and crawl back upon God's wheel. Let Him work a work in your life. Because God is not finished. Somebody hear me today. God is not finished with you. Let's pray together right now, can we? Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Have your way right now, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. I know perhaps this is out of vein for maybe where you thought we might be. I don't know, but this is just what I feel today. But we often look at ourselves as fragmented, broken and unusable. There are times in our lives that we look at our failures and we think, how could God use this? But God looks on us and He sees not what we are at present. But He looks beyond all that. And He sees what He has in mind for us. Amen. I hope this isn't too cliche for you, but He sees a beautiful masterpiece. Because everything that God does is good. Can I remind you of creation? When He spoke it into existence, He looked upon what He did, and He said, "It is good." Woo, hallelujah. When He made man, He said, "It is very good." I'm telling you, when God gets done with you, it's going to be good. Ooh, hallelujah. You were talking about going to heaven. And it caused me to think the ultimate finished work is when we step on streets of gold. Oh, when this mortal body becomes immortal. When we see Him. Ooh, hallelujah. When we get our prize, when we get what we're looking for. Hey, the uncomfortableness of being on the potter's wheel. It's going to be worth it. I've seen God do some amazing things at this altar. I've seen him take people whose lives were an absolute mess. You have too. Problems that no one knew how to fix. An absolute disaster. But yet, they had enough faith in God. Crawl upon that wheel. If you could use anything, God, would you use me, Lord? If you could do anything with my mess, God, please use me. I hope we don't get too big in our experience that we can't crawl back on the wheel and say, God, take out the impurities. Take out, Lord, everything that hinders. Take out those things that block my relationship with you. Mold me again, God, if you have to mar this clay. Mold me again. Make me what you want me to be, God. Come on, pray to the Lord right now. Feel the Holy Ghost trying to help somebody right now. Oh, God, I want to be everything you want me to be, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You see, God specializes in masterpieces made from marred clay. Let God finish the work that he started in you. Don't jump off the wheel before he's done. Don't become dissatisfied with the work that God is doing. Let him do it. Let him do it the way he wants to do it. I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Let him do it the way he wants to do it. Let him do it on the timetable that he wants to do it on. We get impatient. You see, when the potter begins to work on the clay, he already has in mind what the finished work should look like. And God doesn't quit until he's finished. But he's given us the power to choose. And if we're not careful, our impatience often causes us to forfeit the intended finished work. Somebody needs to let God finish tonight. You might not see how it is even possible with the condition that your clay is in, where it's at. But I'm telling you, God specializes in things called impossible. God knows how to put pressure where it needs to be for the clay to begin to take shape and to blossom, if I could say it that way, and to begin to show the fruit of what God has in mind. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. You might be frustrated with the process, but the process is the necessary part. And so it matters not, and I'm almost through, it matters not today what condition you might feel like that you're in when you come to the Lord. I know who I'm preaching to today, and I know who's here. Amen. I'm not talking to anybody that's not here today. If there's a house full of sinners, I might go down a little different trail for them. But I know who I'm preaching to today. And I know what God dealt with me about today. But you see, there's this process that has to take place. And when we come to God and we bring our problems and we bring our frustrations and we feel worthless when we come to Him, what you got to do at that moment is climb on the wheel. Don't give God your list. Oh, my. God, here's my list. Here's the things I want you to do for me. Here's how I want it all done. No. No. You're going to become discarded clay if you're not careful. But God, I'm surrendering myself to your potter's hand. God, put a little water on me. God, make me moldable again, God. Oh. Come on, I need somebody to pray with me right now. I really feel the Lord trying to help somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you stand and love the Lord together right now? Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. I'm telling you, God knows what He's doing with you. Bring your problems to Him. Bring your frustrations to Him. Bring your disappointments to Him. Quit resisting His hand. Quit resisting His efforts to woo you and to show you mercy. And say, God, I'm crawling on the wheel. I'm preaching to every one of us right now. You've got to be willing to crawl back on that wheel and say, God, I'm not what you want me to be yet. I've got a ways to go. But God, I know you're interested in finishing. I want to be a finished work. I want to hear Him say, well done. Well done. If those words seem impossible to you tonight, I challenge you to come crawl upon this altar. Oh, he called us shut eye. Until God can make you, until God can mold you, until God can work out those things in you that's been a stumbling block, that's been a hindrance. Come on, let Him work it out. These altars are open for those that say, God, I don't want you to finish me. I don't want you to quit on me until you're finished. I don't want you to discard me, Lord. But I'm placing myself upon the wheel again. God, if there's things that I need to get rid of, help me to get rid of them. If there's things, Lord, that's causing me to stumble, if there's things, Lord, that's hindering my relationship with you, I'm crawling on the wheel tonight, God. Work on me! Work on me, God. Work on me, God. Oh, God, make me into something you have in mind, oh God. Make me a vessel you can use. A vessel of honor and not of dishonor, God. I want you to be pleased with your finished work, God. I want you to be pleased with your finished. Come on, God can do it for somebody here today. I want you to be pleased with your finished work, God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, that's it. Find a place to pray right now. I think it would be good for all of us to search our hearts. This is a good time to say, God, show me. Show me what's wrong in me. Show me what's hindering me. Because, God, when I get off this wheel, I want to be a completed, finished masterpiece that you can use. Don't resist the hand of the potter. You know what it takes to get to where you need to be. Let God do it. Let God do it. Don't doubt that God can do it today. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a liar, but when God got finished, he was the patriarch named Israel. Saul was a murderer of Christians, but when God got through with him, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm telling you, don't discount the hand of the potter upon your life. Don't discount the fact that God wants to do something in you like you couldn't even imagine. Don't tell him what he needs to do. Let him get creative with you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.